The following is a radio interview with His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on July 2nd, 2011, in Melbourne, Australia.
Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us to re-establish our relationship with Lord Krishna. We should all receive this secret of Vaishnava etiquette and recognize what is the purpose of this human life. Hope I can serve you all nicely. Let us begin today's journey with a special guest, His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, appeared in this world in St. Louis, Missouri, USA on 7th November 1947, the 10th day of Dashami, of the most holy month of Kartik, according to the Vaishnava calendar. He first met his spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in 1971, and was initiated by him on 12th of August of the same year. Srila Prabhupada personally told this new young disciple that he was pleased with his sincerity and enthusiasm for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. Sankarshan Das fully dedicated his life for serving the order of his spiritual master to become a guru and deliver the world. For the last 40 years, he was uninterruptedly served his spiritual master's movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, in various capacities. In the year 2000, in recognition for his full dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission, ISKCON's governing body, GBC, gave him their blessings to initiate disciples. Since that time, he has been regularly traveling and lecturing extensively all over the world for reviving the dormant Krishna consciousness in the hearts of all living beings. For your kind information, today at the Hoppers Crossing Wyndham Leisure Center, number 80 Darimut Road, Hoppers Crossing, he is giving his association with all the devotees are joining with the Carnivals of Peace. Time is 5 o'clock. You are most welcome to see him and associate with me. But today, fortunate we are enough to have him here in the studio. And I'm going to ask and request him few questions. And Maharaj is very eager to give us his association with the Srila Prabhupada and many other things. So I'm inviting. Good morning, Maharaj. Thank you for your kindness. And giving us your valuable time for the Hare Krishna morning program. Please accept our greetings on behalf of 88.9 WinFM. Last week, Saturday show, I had briefly mentioned there could be a special guest coming to give us his divine association. Today, we are very fortunate to get your association for Melbourne listeners. My first inquiry is, could you please illustrate when you did first involve with Hare Krishna movement?
My first involvement with the Hare Krishna movement was actually indirectly, because I was a young college student back in about in the fall of 1965. I went to the university and to begin my studies for whatever my career would be, but nothing made sense to me. I wanted to know why I existed. I wanted to know the meaning of my life. That's what I wanted to find out, not some particular career field. That was secondary. The first thing was, why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? These questions, they could not answer for me. So I began searching, what is the purpose of my existence? Why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? Sometime around 1967, the fall of 1967, I had transferred to a different school to study in the drama department there. And somebody told me about what's called self-realization in some book that taught about self-realization. So I got a hold of that book and I found out that it was a state of consciousness that you could achieve beyond all the miseries of material existence. So I became very determined and very dedicated how I could achieve that enlightened state of consciousness. So I was reading this book and that book, trying to find out a way that I could come to this enlightened state. And I found that I wasn't being given very good help. The information and guidance I was being given did not actually do anything to transform my consciousness. The promise was there, but there was no goods delivered. I was left high and dry at the end in the same state of consciousness I had been in to begin with. I went to some famous guru who was charging money to give you a mantra. I paid the money. I got initiated. I chanted the mantra. Again, nothing happened. So I kept looking, looking, looking. This time, by this time, I was living in Denver, Colorado. It was the fall of 1968. And I was reading this and reading that, trying to find something that would actually liberate me from the miseries of material existence. And then one evening, a friend dropped by my apartment, and he introduced this mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I found out a little bit more about that. At the same time, I found a picture of Lord Krishna, a beautiful Radha Govinda poster in a store, a gift shop in downtown Denver. And I got a Gita. It wasn't the Gita of Prabhupada. It was the Gita of some poet. But one verse he did translate correctly. He said, if you offer me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, food, or water, I will accept it. So I put together the poster, the mantra, and that verse, and I started worshiping Krishna. I put up a little altar. I was offering my food to Krishna, and I was chanting Hare Krishna. And I felt an incredible experience of elevation of consciousness. I felt how I was being carried like on a magic carpet into higher dimensions. I didn't really know about the movement yet. I hadn't met the devotees. I didn't have any really knowledge of the movement at the time, although I had heard something about them. I hadn't associated with them. I knew nothing about the Hare Krishna movement. But I had discovered Krishna consciousness on an introductory level. And I was finding great satisfaction in that. So I was not at all satisfied with the idea of getting a degree and getting a job, a career. That was completely unsatisfactory to me. So I simply decided, all right, that's it. I'm just going to leave the Western culture. I'm going to go to India and just become a sadhu in India. I can't handle this. It's too much. I don't want to deal with this material world. I just want to go be a sadhu in India. So I packed up all my belongings in my parents' house, and I was heading east towards New York City to get a job on a freighter to work my way to India, you see. But along the way, I was in my parents' house, and I had a very profound realization one evening. You see, I'd been studying all these books about denying the material world, you know, this material world is false. There's a philosophical process called neti neti. So I was going through that process. It's not this, it's not that, detach, 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 not this, not that, negate, negate, negate. And that was my approach for trying to become enlightened, was try to negate everything of this material world, just negate everything at every possible level, negate, 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 all the way to the most subtle level, negate, negate, negate. But I had a profound realization one evening that I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I don't have the paper now, but I remember exactly what I wrote down. I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer, and then I had to start accepting. So that was a very profound turning point. So now instead of denying the material world, which I was trying to do, I had this calling from within my heart, you're meant to go to San Francisco, not to India. Mm-hmm. So I did. I turned around with the opposite direction and hitchhiked out to San Francisco, and I met the devotees. The very first people I met there were the devotees when I got to San Francisco. I met the devotees. Coming back from the Harinam party, I met the Harinam party. But I'd been so deeply schooled in Mayavad philosophy by all the books I'd read, I thought I was Krishna, you see. So I wasn't really ready to surrender, but I liked it. I'd already been chanting Hare Krishna. I liked the devotees. I liked the Prasadam. So I associated with the devotees regularly, but I had my own independent agenda. I thought, I felt that my mission was to bring a spiritual revolution on this planet, to bring peace and happiness to the world society. And I developed my own independent program of trying to do that through songwriting. I was a singer-songwriter. So I thought through my music I would, you know, I could bring a revolution on this planet through singing, writing and singing. And I was regularly writing and singing. People loved my music. And I was regularly associating with the devotees in the middle of all this. I would sometimes go and help them put on their festivals. So it was, I had a nice relationship with the devotees. I liked them and they liked me. But I wasn't ready to surrender yet. Because I thought that I was going to, they're doing it their way, I'm doing it my way. I thought my way was better, you see. I'm going to sing songs and, you know, like, and become popular and enlighten the world with my music. But I finally realized that, wait a minute. You yourself are not enlightened. You're still suffering in this material existence. So how you can enlighten the people if you yourself are not enlightened? You know, okay. It's like a dream, a false dream. So I became very serious then. Having been raised as a Christian, I got back to reading the Bible, trying to figure out what you can do to become enlightened. And I knew that Christ was an enlightened being. So I started studying the Bible every morning to see what was it that made Lord Jesus Christ an enlightened being. How did he become spiritually enlightened? What was his secret? And one day I found him. He says in the Bible, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. It's the same thing that Krishna says in the Gita, just from the different perspective. Krishna says, not your will, but my will. Give up all of your ideas, Sarvadaman Paritja, and you just follow my ideas. That's what Krishna is saying. You see? But this is the same exact same, simply from the other perspective. From the perspective of the devotee, he was saying, not my will, but thy will. In the Gita, he says the opposite, but the same point, it's from the opposite perspective. So now, what does God want me to do? I was ready, but I didn't hear any voice from the sky telling me what you're supposed to do. But finally, I understood that, well, you can't hear God, but he can hear you. So I just started begging him, my dear Lord, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. That became my mantra. Every morning I get up, I read the Bible, and I say, dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant. And one day, actually Krishna was in my heart, and he was in the heart of a very advanced devotee called His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. He was that time 200 miles away, 175 miles away, preaching in Houston. And the super soul in my heart, I was praying, and the super soul in the heart of Vishnu Janaswami inspired him to come to Austin, you see, to answer my prayer. He came there and he started preaching in Austin, started a preaching center. And I started associating with him. I was still writing songs. I'd written 300 songs. I was really into it, see. But he really encouraged me. He said, bring your guitar. You can sing your songs. I started writing songs about Krishna. You can sing your songs about Krishna at the temple, at the feast, you know, after the feast. So he encouraged me to use my propensity for Krishna. So in this way, I got involved. But I was thinking, well, I'm not really going to be a disciple. I'll just be kind of like George Harrison, you know. I'll write songs and about Krishna, and that way I'll spread it in my own way, not as a disciple. But I was living in the temple just to see what I could learn so I could write better songs. you see. And they encourage me. That's fine. So, so you're in the temple. You do everything that everybody does. You know, they bow down. They offer prayers. So there's a prayer we say to Prabhupada, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale, etc. And that was for a young Texas kid. That's not an easy thing to memorize. So I took a ballpoint pen. I wrote it down in my hand, my left hand, starting at the top of the little finger, working my way down towards the thumb. I wrote the whole thing on my hand. So when I would bow down, I could read it off my hand. And there was a little space at the bottom left over. So Vishnujan Maharaj, he saw that. He said, now you should add this to your hand. I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. But I wasn't going to do it. I was a stubborn holdout, you see. I said, well, I'm just going to be a devotee of Krishna. You all can be disciples of Prabhupada, but I'm just going to be a devotee of Krishna. But then the devotees showed me. They said, but they called me Steve Prabhu because I distributed 10 Back to Godhead magazines one day. They said, but Steve Prabhu, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to surrender to the spiritual master. Tadvadi pradipatina pariprasnena seviya. So I was defeated philosophically, but was I going to do it? No way. But one day, George Harrison belonged to the London devotees that produced this Radha Krishna Temple album. You know, we have our famous Govinda prayers on it and so many nice songs. That had just been released, and we had a copy of it there at the temple. So my duty at the temple was to vacuum the rug every morning in the temple, in the temple room. And I would play that. We were playing that album while I was vacuuming the rug, and we came to the second track. Samsara dava naladir holoka tranayakar yunaganaganadvam praptasyakalyana gunanavasya vandigoroshi chadananavindam. And you know something? I was amazed. I said, this is phenomenal. These devotees have so much love for Prabhupada. You could hear in their voices. I mean, it was amazing. I'd never experienced love like that in the material world. The love they were feeling for Prabhupada was so pure. It was so powerful. It was so sweet. It was so divine. It was so ambrosial. It was so delicious. That my heart, I was just hearing the love they were expressing in their voices. I was just thinking. And I said, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And I just started crying. And at that very minute, you see, I accepted Prabhupada into my heart. That's when I really became his disciple. Of course, then you had to wait 6 months before you can get initiated. But that's the moment I accepted Prabhupada. So that's how I got involved with the movement. And that's how it happened.
All right. As per my limited knowledge, that you are one of the main leaders in the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement in the 1970s, and you had dedicated your whole life towards satisfying your spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Could you please share with us your realization to encourage our future generation?
Actually, the whole world is looking for Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means the perfection of loving relationships. You see, now we want to have happiness of loving relationships, but we're always frustrated because we can't get over being selfish. We always want to take something from the relationship. So we're never satisfied. And if we try to purely give ourselves to someone, we end up being exploited in a gross or subtle way. So therefore, we're frustrated. We have nowhere to give our love where we can fully give our love without any reservations. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that supreme person who is the source of all existence, who's known by thousands and millions of different names, who the Vedas describe with the name Krishna, that supreme person is absolutely pure. He's the source of love. Love exists because of his kindness. So if you give your love to that Supreme Person, who does nothing but bless all living entities throughout all of existence at every minute. If you give your love to that Supreme Person, there's no exploitation. And then through him, through loving him, everyone being his nothing but his expanded energy, through water, he's the root of the entire existence. By giving your love to that Supreme Person, now you're giving pure love to all living entities, including yourself, throughout all of existence. And that's the perfection of happiness. And this is what the whole world is lacking. We've forgotten how to love that Supreme Person. So the solution for all the problems of the world is to come back to this point of loving that Supreme Person, whether you call him Krishna or Allah or Jehovah. That's a detail. But see, we must come to loving that Supreme Person. You see, this is the great message of all the great saintly teachers throughout history. It's not that there's different religions. There's only one religion, and that's to give pure, selfless love to that Supreme Person.
Thank you, Maharaj. At present, what is your daily routine in terms of devotional activities with your so tight schedule of flying all over the world?
Well, for example, today I rose up. I woke up at, even though we went to bed at 11 o'clock last night. I got up at 2:30 to chant Japamala, and then after chanting for some time, at 4:15, I woke our deity, Sri Sri Radha Damodar. Then I went downstairs to attend the Mangal Arati at the temple in the Tulsi Puja. Then I came upstairs and offered another Mangal Arati to Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And then after doing that, my wife, Vishnupriya Devi Das, who's here with us now today, she bathed and dressed Sri Sri Radha Damodar while I was composing a thought for the day, which is a broadcast that goes out all over the world to over 13,000 subscribers. And then after composing thought for the day, assisting a little bit with the deity worship as well, then I've come down over here to the radio station, and then from here we'll go back, have a little breakfast. I have to finish up thought for the day, get it loaded on the internet, and then we're going to another program. And then we're coming back from there, and then we have to do the evening puja for Sri Sri Radha Damodar a little early, and then we're going to another program after there. So that's a typical day in Krishna consciousness. And we're doing this at the same time that we're doing this kind of schedule. We're traveling, we're circling the globe. Like this, every year we circle the globe twice. We do two around the world tours every year.
Hare Krishna. Wonderful. You're spreading and cultivating the secret of Bhakti Yoga, which are blessings of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Please tell us, our listener, different between the Bhakti Yoga and the science of self-realization. What is the difference between this?
Well, they are the same and they are different also. In other words, self-realization is a science just like mathematics, you see. Mathematics has the introductory level. You have arithmetic, then you go up to, you know, to algebra. And then you go up to geometry, then you go up to trigonometry, then you go to calculus. There's different levels of mathematics. It's like I have a disciple in Estonia. She has a master's degree in mathematics, so she's gone to very high levels in her mathematical study. There's probability statistics. There's all kinds of very highly advanced levels of mathematics. So the self-realization science also has different levels. The Prabhupada explains them that there's the perfect level, which is called Brahman realization. There is the more perfect level, which is called Paramatma realization. And there is the most perfect level, which is called Bhagavan realization. The Bhakti Yoga system, which is the most powerful self-realization system, because it brings one to the most perfect level of self-realization, the level of Bhagavan realization. There are the yogas. There's karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. And they're all valid, and they all bring one gradually to the perfectional stage. So you have a choice. You can go step by step through all the different levels, or you can take the elevator and go straight to the top. The thing is, we have a very short lifespan. the amount of time it takes to become perfect in the other yoga systems means many, many lifetimes. That's why Krishna says, Bahunam janmananamate gyanavanmang prapadyate vasudeva saramati sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births and deaths, those who follow the pathway of jnana yoga, they finally come to the point of bhakti and surrender to me. So do you want to become relieved from all stress, become fully enlightened, full of knowledge, full of bliss, full of love right now, or you want to postpone it for many, many lifetimes? If you want it in this lifetime, then get on the elevator. That's called the bhakti yoga system, the yoga of divine love consciousness, dovetailing the individual consciousness with the supreme consciousness, dovetailing your individual personality with the supreme personality. This is the bhakti yoga system.
Maharaj, you have your own website, which is www.backtohome.com. And you said you have 13,000 subscribers all over the world, about 100 countries. Could you please explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have... There's a huge audience. The internet is growing by leaps and bounds. So we want to make Krishna consciousness available to everybody. And the internet is a very good medium for doing that. It reaches in every corner of the world, everywhere. Practically everywhere people have the internet, and more people are getting online every day. So we wanted to make a facility so that people who are looking for the answers, who are looking how to get free from the sufferings of material existence, can do that. So it's been very successful. That's actually how we ended up traveling constantly all over the world. We found that I had dedicated students in so many places in the world, so we thought, well, we better go there so we can meet these students, so we can give some lectures, they can hear some more training. So that's how our world around the world tours evolved. They came out of the e-course because somebody wanted to become a disciple, and so spiritual master actually needs to meet his disciples, so he can help, he can train them, give them personal guidance. So therefore, in order to do a proper job of taking care of all the people that Krishna has sent me through the internet. Just like I had no disciples in Mauritius, but one woman there wanted to be my disciple. So now she's Archana City Devi Dasi. So now we go regularly there, and now we went there because of her, and now more people become disciples after we went there. So in this way, the internet has been a very good way to expand our outreach and plus those people who are already my disciples, it's a great way to give them that daily connection with their spiritual master. Every day they can get some fresh, new nectar. Every day. It's every day something. It's not like I just take something, some old thing, and I recycle it. It's a brand new correspondence, a brand new realization every day.
Are you writing any book, Maharaj?
Yes, I have begun a book. How I came to this position of coming blessed with transcendental knowledge it will be described. The book is I have begun that book. Yeah, a detailed description of how I came out of the ignorance of material existence and became enlightened with transcendental knowledge by the grace of my spiritual master.
As my understanding, you started 1967, heard about the Hare Krishna movement, and Srila Prabhupada has given you the initiation in 1971. Mm. You must have some association with Srila Prabhupada. Could you please share with us?
Yes, I did have some very sweet moments with Prabhupada. Prabhupada singled me out of the crowd in front of the Los Angeles temple We had a ceremony of giving, exchanging flowers with Prabhupada, and so he'd come out of his car for the morning walk. So we all had a little exchange. We'd give Prabhupada a flower, he'd give us a flower. But then I, after he finished giving all the flowers out, then he was walking back to his quarters at the back of the temple. So I stationed myself on the stairway there on the edge of the building so I could get another darshan of Prabhupada. Actually, taking darshan of Prabhupada was a very powerful mystical experience because you would, the devotee, it's not an ordinary thing when you see your spiritual master. When you see your spiritual master, you drink his form into your heart through your eyes, you see. So I was drinking that form into my heart through the eyes as he came by. And Prabhupada was so kind. He saw that I was not standing in the line at that moment because I had stepped out of the line to take this special darshan. But he held up a flower to ask me if I had also gotten a flower yet. So even though I was just one of the crowd at the time, he took that special interest to see that I had gotten the flower, and that very much impressed me. And those kind of things sit with you forever, those kind of moments when the spiritual master wants to make sure that you didn't miss out on the mercy. He wanted to make sure you also got the mercy, you see. So that was my first face-to-face meeting. Actually, from there, mostly I associated with Prabhupada by correspondence because I was at a distance. I was in a remote temple away from the big temples he visited. So I got many, many instructions from Prabhupada via the letters.
So Srila Prabhupada wrote you some letter?
Many letters. Many letters.
Very nice. Maharaj, would you like to give some message to our listener?
My message to the listeners is this. Don't be what you're not. Don't try to be what you're not. You'll never be happy. You'll never be successful. It'll be a failure if you try. But just be who you really are. You see, Krishna consciousness means know who you are and be who you are. Right now, the material society is trying to train us into being these bodies, which we are not. Be a man, my son. You see, we're being trained to be these bodies. But you can't be your body because you're not. If I say, well, now you be a good jacket. Now we're wearing jackets in this chilly morning, you see. Be your jacket. If you want to be successful, my son, you must be your jacket. I mean, how can you be your jacket? It's not you. It's just a garment you're wearing. So we have a society, everybody is frustrated because everybody is trying to be that body. I'm trying to be a beautiful woman or a handsome man, you see. I'm trying to be that, but you're not. You can never be that because you're not the body. So instead of trying to be what you're not, just try to be who you really are. Connect with your actual eternal nature as a spiritual spark, qualitatively one with the Supreme Person. Krishna or God or Allah, Jehovah, according to your tradition, you can address him. But you're qualitatively one with that Supreme Person. You're his expanded energy. So why are you trying to be something you're not? Just be who you really are, the eternal servant of the Supreme, and you're going to feel good. You're going to have a great day every day. You're going to be smiling in your heart, you know, all the way through your whole life. You see? So that's my best advice. Awaken your dormant, loving relationship with the Supreme Person, Krishna or Allah or Jehovah, Supreme Person.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. Many thanks for your kind association, information and time. I request you again, on behalf of our listeners, next time when you're visiting again Melbourne, please keep aside some time for our listeners.
All right, we'll be happy to come back again. It was a great pleasure to be here with you this morning, you and all the listeners out there in Melbourne. We're so happy to be here with all you, and we can all be Krishna conscious together.
Thank you very much. And for all the listeners today at 5 o'clock at Wyndham Leisure Center, His Holiness, His Grace, Shankar Sundas Adhikari Maharaj will be giving his association and many other program on that day. This evening, 5 o'clock, don't miss it, today's program.